eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, a suburb of Kansas City, and you're listening to episode number 93, being recorded on June 20th, 2007. Well, last week, my wife and I took a short vacation to the city of Chicago. Growing up as a child, we went to Chicago quite a bit. My parents are huge Cubs fans. My wife had never been to Chicago, though, before. And so we decided to take a short vacation to Chicago. And we're going to do a little podcast about each of our day's adventures. We were in Chicago for 3 days. And so today on this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about our first day in Chicago. And it's going to focus on a visit to Millennium Park, and then also a Cubs game at Wrigley Field. To give you a little bit of background information, I do have relatives that live in Tinley Park, which is a suburb kind of in the southern part of Chicago. And ever since we were grade school kids, we used to go to Chicago and stay in Tinley Park at our relatives. And it's a great place because they actually live about 3 blocks away from the train station in Tinley Park. So to go into the city of Chicago, we walk about 2 or 3 blocks, get on the train, take the train into Chicago, and then use public transportation throughout the city and things. So I do recommend, if you are going to Chicago, if you don't want to stay downtown, just find a hotel that might be near one of the actual train stations. Tinley Park has a very nice train station. They actually have kind of a cyber coffee cafe right there along the track. So if you get to the train station early, you can grab a cappuccino. They do have wireless internet available, so you can check things on your laptop. And it's a very nice place to wait and stop for the train. So we actually took the train each day into Chicago, and I think for my wife and I round trip, it was something like $12. So very cost effective. Took roughly about 45 minutes or so to get into Chicago, the heart of Chicago, from Tinley Park, but a really nice way to stay outside the city, but yet then get into the heart of the city very easily. Now, one thing that we wanted to mention was we did use public transportation quite a bit in Chicago. Several ways that you can use public transportation, the train, obviously, we just mentioned. Once you get inside Chicago, you can use the elevated train, and then also the bus system. And what we decided to do after we went to the visitor center was to actually buy a 3-day pass. Now, you can buy a pass for 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days, and our 3-day pass cost $12 a piece. But what that allowed us to do was to use the L and to use any city bus just by showing the card or reading the card through the card reader, and we didn't have to pay for each individual trip. So if you are going to be in Chicago for several days, you might want to think about that. Don't quote me on the prices, but I think for a 1-day pass, it was $5 per person, 2 days was $9, and then, like I said, a 3-day pass was $12. And we used that quite a bit throughout the 3 days, and we never had to worry about having extra change or, you know, making sure that we had to budget for a bus or for the L. We just popped on the L or popped on a bus whenever we needed to. There is a free option for tourists that are going to Chicago. The city does have a trolley system, and this is basically free. Goes to many of the major stops. I would encourage you to get a map for the trolleys. They have several different ones so that you know which trolley you're getting on if you want to go to a specific museum or a certain place to go shopping or a certain tourist site. The only drawback of the trolleys is they don't run quite as frequently as the L or the bus. So if you want to do the trolley system, just kind of plan ahead a little bit. But I would suggest using the L or using the bus. All right, well, enough logistics. The first place we went once we got into the heart of Chicago was Millennium Park. And the last summer I was in Chicago a little bit for a Discovery Education workshop and was able to do a little bit of exploring down in Millennium Park, a very beautiful place. I kind of went through on my own a little bit last year, and this year I was very happy that we stopped at the Visitor Center and discovered a tour that was taking place. I think the tour takes place twice a day, and a person actually walks you through Millennium Park and gives a great description of the history of Millennium Park, what it was before it became Millennium Park, but then it also talks a lot about the ecology, the different particulars of the structures that are on the site, how they designed them, how much they cost, what kind of controversies might have been involved with each of the particular aspects of the park. And I learned a lot about Millennium Park that I didn't know. So if you happen to be in Millennium Park, I would strongly suggest going to the Visitor Center. And right around noon, they have two different tours, and it's free. Or if you'd like to download the audio tour, they do have some audio tours available online, so you can preload your iPod with those. If you don't happen to have your iPod along, you can go to the Visitor Center, and they have an audio device that you can listen to, and it's $5. To rent that. So we learned a lot about the different parts of the park. They do have garden tours available. I believe those are on Sundays. And you find out a lot about the different concerts that are in the park. You can check out their schedule. They have lots of symphonies, and it's a very gorgeous outdoor amphitheater that you can listen to. And if you go at the right day, people that are performing in the evenings actually practice during the day. And twice over the last 2 years, I've been able to listen to part of the performers warming up and practicing at about noon, and then later on that night they give a larger performance. So that's kind of a neat thing. We did buy a Subway sandwich just a couple blocks away, and then brought that to Millennium Park and actually ate our lunch in Millennium Park. And there were quite a few people doing that. It's a very nice place to kind of grab something and go there to eat. I would suggest maybe grabbing something a little bit off the park site, maybe a couple blocks away, a sandwich shop, or grab a slice of pizza, something like that. They do have some places to buy things on site at Millennium Park, but they tend to be rather expensive. Like a salad was like $9 and things like that. So it's not impossible to eat on site, but I would definitely recommend bringing something along. There's a lot of opportunities for kids. They have the water fountains where they have the faces that change, and then it's basically kind of like a gargoyle, and it spits the water out. And there were tons of kids there that day. It was hot, and they were running around in the water and waiting for the waterfall to come down on them and stuff like that. And that's all free. They also had quite a few family activities the day that we were there. They had a tent set up, and I believe it was sponsored by Target, but they had like face painting, and they had some different activities for families. And there were quite a few people taking advantage of that. It's also very neat to go to Millennium Park at night. If you happen to go during the day and you get a second chance, go back during the evening hours. The water sculpture looks really cool at night when the faces are lit up on the screen. And then also the most famous feature of Millennium Park, the Bean, is really cool during the day because it's this huge sculpture that mirrors the surroundings. So basically you can like see the skyline and different things, but it's also really cool at night because it reflects all that light and all the buildings as well. So I really liked the Bean, Cloud Gate, I guess as it's officially called, and we'll have a picture on the blog of the Bean. I call it the Bean. My wife really liked the fountain sculptures, and then also the boardwalk, where you can actually walk through the garden, and they have a little place where you can put your feet in the water and things like that, and she really liked the garden area. So Millennium Park, right along the lakefront, basically Grant Park, definitely check that out. It's a really great feature, a relatively new feature of Chicago, and definitely worth anybody's trip to Chicago to visit. All right, well, we did that during the late morning, early afternoon, and then we had tickets to the Cubs game. We bought our tickets actually in February when they first went online, and we were able to see the Cubs play the Seattle Mariners, so kind of interesting. We got to see an interleague game, and we're actually from Kansas City, of course, so we actually watched the Mariners play quite a bit and know several of their players fairly well from watching them through the years and things in Kansas City. So that was kind of neat. And then also when we bought the tickets, we had the option of going on several different days, and we picked a night game, partially because we thought it might be a little bit cooler, temperature-wise, but then also it happened to be the promotion of Ernie Banks Cub Night, Ernie Banks Hat Night, excuse me. And so every not everybody, the first 10,000 people that came into Wrigley Field got a really nice Ernie Banks Cub hat. And we found out later in the game that it actually was Ernie Banks' anniversary with his wife, and he was actually there, which was really cool. And Ernie Banks actually sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game during the seventh inning stretch, and I recorded a little bit of that on videos or on audio, so I'm going to try and include that a little bit at the end of the podcast. But if you haven't been to Wrigley Field in Chicago, it's really easy to get to as far as public transportation. You just take the L directly to the Addison stop, and my wife and I are kind of partial to that because we have a three-year-old daughter named Addison, and my parents are Cubs fans, and I kind of grew up as a Cubs fan, but when we named Addison, we didn't really think of that. We just like the name Addison. And so when we tell people in Chicago that our daughter's name is Addison, they automatically think that we named it after the stop or the street that runs right in front of Wrigley Field, but that's actually not the case. But Wrigleyville is a really nice area. There's lots of bars and restaurants and things. It's right there next to the stadium, so you can go and grab a bite to eat. We got there in the late afternoon, and we had an evening game, so we had about 2 hours or so to kind of go through some of the sports shops, kind of pick up a couple souvenirs, and then we asked some of the locals where they would recommend eating. Kind of an old Rachel Ray trick, if you watch Rachel Ray when she does her $40 on a day trips, she always asks the locals. Well, we asked a couple of the local people where they would recommend eating. And the place that they recommended was a restaurant bar called John Barleycorn, and it was excellent food, a really nice interior. Everything was kind of like cherry wood, and they had ample seating. They had a whole bunch of large, high-definition TV screens with ESPN and different things on. And then also it was only about a half a block from Wrigley. So if you're looking for a place to eat around Wrigley Stadium, or Wrigley Field, I'm sorry, I'd definitely recommend it. It's right on Clark Street, and again, the name is John Barleycorn. I had rib tips, and it came with fries, coleslaw, bread, and it was like $8. My wife had some masticati, and she really enjoyed that, so definitely check that out if you're going to a Cubs game. And just a tip, if you are going to Wrigley Field, Wrigley actually has a special where if you go in and you enter the gates an hour, for the first hour after they open the gates, all the food in the park is about 25% off. So, you know, it gets a little bit expensive to eat at the park. If you do go to a Cubs game, you might want to grab your food right away, and it'll be at least a little bit cheaper than it would be later in the game. Now, if you've ever been to a Cubs game or been to Wrigley Field, it doesn't really matter so much if the Cubs are winning or losing. It's really about the experience of being at Wrigley Field. It's a great historic ballpark. It's the second oldest ballpark in Major League Baseball, second only to the Red Sox Fenway Park. So it's pretty amazing when you're sitting there thinking that people have played baseball in that stadium professionally since 1914. And, you know, Babe Ruth, and, you know, there's tons of greats that have played on Wrigley Field. And like I said earlier, you might want to look for a promotion day. They had some great things as far as if you attend on certain days, like, you know, get a souvenir bat or a shirt or different things like that. You do need to check out a little bit early for Cubs games because they do send a sellout. We were actually there on a Wednesday night, and the Cubs are doing okay. They're kind of on a hot streak right now, but they're not, like, leading the league or anything. And there were still 40,000 people at the game. So a Cubs ticket tends to be a relatively hot item, so you might want to check out a little bit early. Again, we got ours when they first came available online, and I believe this year they first became available online, I think it was like February 22nd. So we've had our tickets for quite a bit. So definitely check that out if you're a baseball fan. Wrigley Field is definitely a place to go. And it was relatively kid-friendly. We didn't bring our three-year-old this time, but they had coloring books and crayons if you asked the usher. They gave the kids things to play with and stuff during the game, and we really enjoyed it. So that was our first day in Chicago. We had a great time, did basically two major things. And one thing that my wife and I try not to do is try and do too many things in one day. So we basically decided we're going to try Millennium Park and kind of just play around downtown a little bit and then head for Wrigleyville, kind of enjoy the atmosphere, watch the game, and then head back on the train that night. So we had a great time and really enjoyed it. Stay tuned for our adventures on day two in Chicago. And during day two, we're going to talk a little bit about attending the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry. We do a little bit after the museum by going up to some different things in the city, and actually went to a dinner theater on day two. So thanks for listening, and if you have any comments or you've been to Chicago, if you'd like to leave a comment on this blog entry, you can do that at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot, or you can also email us at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Good night.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.